TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Sad story coming out of Ruffin. That's in Collin County. Three people are dead after a shooting yesterday, and one 9-year-old little girl was wounded in this shooting. The sheriff's office says the victims are believed to be related to adults and are possibly the grandparents of a 13-year-old boy. Now, this shooting is being investigated as a murder. We do not know a whole lot of information about this. Some people have speculated that this was a murder-suicide sort of a deal. Collin County Fire Rescue officials said yesterday that the 9-year-old girl suffered an apparent gunshot wound to the leg. She was flown to the Medical University of South Carolina, where she got treatment. She underwent surgery for her injuries and is believed at this time to be in stable condition. According to the sheriff's office, a search was done of the home, and they uncovered what they think might be narcotics. Now, Collin County Sheriff Andy Strickland said in a press conference yesterday that his deputies and detectives are searching for possible suspects and have received leads in their investigation. Sheriff Strickland said that investigators have not ruled out the possibility that the shooting was related to a domestic disturbance. So crime scene investigators with SLED are helping out Collin County in this crime scene. They have not released the identities of those who were shot yet. This poor little nine-year-old girl shot. And again, we don't know what exactly happened in that home, but also this was a 13-year-old boy was also shot and killed yesterday. So just a sad, sad situation, especially in a small little town like Ruffin. It was a very close community, they say, a very tight-knit community. And, of course, you can imagine they are shaken to their core this morning hearing about this this tragedy that happened out there. But, boy, I tell you what, the violence that is going on, and I don't know what it is stemming from. Is it stemming from the drugs? Is it stemming from some sort of a mental health issue that we're having in this country? I know we have several callers that say we don't have enough mental health care in this country, but it is available. It is certainly available. However, mental health, you don't want to offer up a family member for a mental health evaluation, do you? And certainly individuals don't want to do that. So just a sad, sad story coming out of Ruffin yesterday. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Be happy to take your calls. We're going to be talking more about the latest, the scandal du jour, as we will call it, coming out of the White House. That's coming up for you.
Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
If you miss any of the program, such as our interview with Diamond and Silk the other day, you can always listen to it on the podcast. And over the past month, this is interesting, we've had folks listening here in the United States, Japan, coming in at the number 2 position on listenings of the podcast at WTMA.com. Germany coming in at number 3, coming in at number 4. Uh-oh, here we go. Russia. Russia's listening to the podcast. Well, obviously, there's some sort of collusion there. The United Kingdom coming in at number 5. Brazil at number 6. France is coming in at number 7. And Italy comes in at number 8. Buongiorno, Italia. I think that was pretty good. So thanks for everybody for listening to the podcast and checking that out. You can also check it out on iTunes and all of your, your podcast players on your cellular phone there as you're out there searching for things. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. The grand jury up in Columbia is handing down an indictment of Rick Quinn, saying that he wasn't doing things quite the way they wanted to. Now, Rick Quinn says, hey, listen, everything that I have done has been above board and in accordance with the law. Now, the indictment says that Rick Quinn used his public office as a multi-million dollar money funnel that enriched his family's powerful political empire while doing the bidding of shadowy corporate interest in the legislature. Shadowy corporate interest. Ooh, that sounds like there's a guy in the shadows wearing a trench coat and a fedora, you know, using a funny voice. Misconduct charges were handed down as, of course, part of this ongoing statehouse corruption probe that has been going on for quite a while now. Of course, Quinn, who is a Lexington Republican, is accused of failing to report more than $4.5 million that unidentified groups had paid to companies operated by him and his father. Of course, Richard Quinn. They say he improperly lobbied on their behalf using his businesses and public office to influence government actions involving those groups, according to the indictment. So my question is, oh my gosh, you're going to have to catch up a whole lot more people in this net. If that's going to be your requirement, that that people are lobbying for their own best interest up in Columbia, you're going to catch a lot of fish in that net. Quinn's also accused of using his position to improperly steer $278,881 in Republican House caucus funds to family businesses in which he had financial interest. He funneled campaign cash to his and his father's companies as well, the indictment states. House Speaker Jay Lucas moved pretty quickly to suspend Quinn from office until the matter is resolved. They say that his father, Richard Quinn, is a kingmaker here in South Carolina politics. And if you do, they've got like an infographic up that really shows all of the people that the Quinns are involved in. But if you are a political, and I'm not defending Rick Quinn by any means, but if you are a political, what do you call it, a marketer, basically that's what he does. He's a political marketer. He is a consultant to political campaigns. And he's a very successful one. Why? Because a lot of times the folks that he is representing in his consulting business, they win the election. So, of course, he's going to have a lot of people saying, hey, I'm running for office. I probably want to give Rick Quinn a call and see how he can help me. So, yeah, so I don't think a lot of that. I think a lot of that is just really overreaching. That's just making something out of nothing, if you will. Now, the hiding the $4.5 million, that's a big issue. That's something we really need to look at as far as he is concerned. But again, he is saying that he has done absolutely nothing wrong. Here's a quote from Rick Quinn. After nearly 4 years of investigation, Mr. Pasco, talking about David Pasco, has accused me of conduct that the supervisory authorities said was legal and proper. He goes on to say, I have conducted myself in an honorable manner, and I look forward to clearing my family's good name. So we will find out. Certainly you will have your day in court, I am sure, after this indictment is handed down. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. We'll talk more about the Comey memo. What was it? Was it a diary entry? Was it a memo that Comey wrote to himself? Disgruntled employee. That's what I'll label James Comey. Coming out with this report that he's got a memo that James Comey wrote to James Comey after James Comey met with President Donald Trump briefly after Michael Flynn, or before Michael Flynn had been fired. Now, according to this memo that James Comey wrote to James Comey, and apparently he keeps, keep a diary? What is the old saying? Never trust a man that keeps a diary. So he says that he wrote in his diary or memo that the president asked him to back off of the investigation into Michael Flynn. I think James Comey needs to let it go.
Let it go. Let it go. Michael Flynn's a good guy, we both know. Let it go, Comey, let it go. And please don't put this down in a memo, 'cause we all see that the fault lies with Hillary. Can you and I move just gonna fire you anyway.
Let it go, Comey. Let it go. So let's. So now they're saying that President Trump tried to basically stop this investigation into Michael Flynn. They are claiming obstruction of justice. So let's go back to October of 2016. October 2016, when we learned that then Attorney General Loretta Lynch and President Obama tried to block the FBI from investigating the emails that were on Hillary Clinton's server. That's right. Now, for several months, now you remember, please don't have a short memory on this. FBI agents were very upset over the handling. In fact, many, many FBI agents turned in their resignation because of the handling of the FBI in this investigation of Hillary Clinton's email server. They were furious over how James Comey handled the Clinton investigation. He ignored the letters and was trying to basically save face here. The FBI discovered 650,000 emails on a laptop that were seized from Anthony Weiner and Huma Abedin, one of Hillary Clinton's top aides. And then we find out that Loretta Lynch and Obama basically told the FBI to stand down. To stop. We learned that five different FBI field offices defied the order to stand down and continued investigating the Clinton Foundation over alleged bribery and pay to play. But Loretta Lynch actively tried to stop Comey from reopening the Clinton investigation. She told him to stand down and went forward with notifying Congress of the new evidence anyway. So where was the obstruction of justice charge then? So this memo that Comey has, apparently James Comey wrote this memo to James Comey back in February. So where was, February, March, April, May. 3 months. So for the past 3 months, where was this glorious FBI chief, the glorious investigator, the world's number one law enforcement officer, where was the claims of obstruction of justice then? You have to wonder if any of this would have come to light if Donald Trump had not fired James Comey. Do you think we would be hearing about a memo then? Do you think we would be going with the, as I call it, the scandal du jour? Would we be waking up this morning to find this out? Of course not. Of course we wouldn't be doing that. So one of two things is going to happen, and it's going to happen pretty quickly. Number one, the thing that I hope doesn't happen, the vast majority of Americans are going to get they're going to start believing this stuff from the left. And that's really going to put 2018 in big jeopardy for the Republicans. Number two, and the thing that I believe is going to happen, because even I at one point got tired of hearing about Benghazi and I got tired of hearing about Hillary Clinton's email. I just wanted something done about it. I think the American people are getting a little bit tired of hearing about all the scandals coming from the White House. And I think the Democrats are in jeopardy of being victims of a huge backlash of the American voter. I think the Democrats really need to pick their battles. But right now, nothing that they have done has stuck against the president. The only people that are out there screaming about it are the folks in the mainstream media. And of course, they're complicit in all of this anyway.
WTMA!
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 8 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. All right, I'll tell you what. I got a family four-pack of tickets to go see the River Dogs play any home game this season, any 2017 home game. I'm going to take caller number 7 right now at 556-1250. That's 556-1250. A family 4-pack of tickets to go see the Charleston River Dogs. Any home game at the Joe this season, you'll be able to go to. So we got that for you. That's 556-1250. Going to roll through the old callers here till we can get to caller number 7 at 556-1250. Going to be winning something pretty cool here. So let's just waiting for caller 7 to squeeze on through here, and we will go to the phones right now and say, good morning. Who's this?
Hello.
Hello. Who's this?
Robert Frelick.
Robert, how are you this morning, buddy?
I'm doing good.
I'm glad to hear that. Robert, congratulations. You just picked yourself up 4 tickets to go see the Charleston River Dogs at any 2017 home game this year at the Joe. How about that?
That's great, man. That's great.
All right.
I heard you on the radio. I was listening to it and dialing at the same time.
I appreciate that, Robert. You enjoy that. I'm going to put you on hold. John Quincy is going to get some information from you so you can get out there and check out the River Dogs as they play. They're going to be taking on Augusta, the Green Jackets, coming up Saturday night out at the Joe. Of course, Green Jackets, a perennial rival of the River Dogs. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. I don't know. When I first saw this, I was like, what is going on with men in this country? I don't get it. I really don't. There is a new, quote-unquote, fashion trend out there, and it is called romp hems. Romp hems. Now, this is a takeoff on rompers. You know what a romper is? It's a one-piece combination of a shirt and shorts. You know, babies wear them. We've seen them. Babies wear them. Sometime women wear them. Rarely well. But now they're talking about bringing them out for men. There's a Kickstarter campaign for man rompers. It just went live. They're being called romp hems. They're $95, and they've already raked in over $100,000 in this Kickstarter. I'm just looking at a couple of pictures here, and I'm, oh, Lord, please don't let anybody I know buy those. Please, for the love of all that's holy, don't allow any of my friends or anybody that I don't want to see them on the streets of Charleston. I don't want to be walking down King Street and there's some guy in a romp hem. That's ridiculous. When would a guy think that's a good idea? I mean, it's one thing that we're dealing with the man bun these days. Seriously. I don't even know. You will find out, guys, if you're out there sporting a man bun, understand this. That is your version of the mullet. All right? You, in years to come, are going to be made fun of for that hair fashion choice that you are making. So be very careful about that. Because, I mean, seriously, you look ridiculous. You look ridiculous. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. One of the cool things that we have here in Charleston is out at the aquarium. They've got the South Carolina Aquarium's sea turtle recovery department out there, and they do a fantastic. I love those guys out there. I have yet to, and they seem to always do this when I am unavailable to get out there and make it. But they take these injured sea turtles and they rehabilitate them and they get them back to health, and then they release them back into the ocean. And it's a fantastic thing. They're doing an expansion, and they started out this thing with just basically a kiddie wading pool. And they have grown from there. They're going to be getting a $5.3 million expansion. They say it's necessary upgrades. And they're taking a little bit of a chance here because apparently the Charleston Aquarium is a little bit stagnant in its attendance. So also your admission fee is going to rise by $5 to $29.95 for adults. That's coming up May the 27th, they're going to be raising the prices out there. So I am almost positive that some of that is for the funding of this new recovery center for the sea turtles. However, I do think it's a worthwhile cause. I mean, the things they do out there are absolutely fantastic. So we'll see what happens with that. All right, what else is going on? Oh, we're going to be talking a little bit more about this Rick Quinn indictment yesterday that came down because this ethics probe by David Pasco is really, he has cast a wide net, and it seems to me that they are really concentrating on the Republicans here. Because so far, those are the only indictments that have come down, are indictments and allegations against Republicans in the House and the Senate. And I really want to know if any Democrats are getting caught up on this. I would love to know if, because you can imagine that certainly you cannot tell me that up there in Columbia, every Democrat in office is squeaky clean. Now, David Pasco is a Democrat, so I certainly hope there's no partisanship going on there in just trying to find out who the dirty Republicans are. Not saying Rick Quinn is dirty, because according to him, everything that he has done has been cleared, and he's not violating the law in any way. That's according to him. Pasco says differently. So we'll find out what happens. He'll have his day in court. So we got a lot more to talk about. Going to talk more about this this Comey investigation. We'll have that when we get back.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Nut job. Nut job's the only way you can describe. It's probably the mildest way you can describe Dylann Roof. They have released his transcripts or the videos of his jailhouse visits while he was in jail for the Emmanuel 9 shooting. And seeing these things and hearing what is in these tapes is absolutely mind-boggling. The only thing really missing from the tapes is, remorse. Sadness on his part, any sort of, like I said, just remorse at all, there's none in the guy. So yesterday, federal judge allowed journalists to view four videos of Roof's jail visits that had been introduced into evidence during his two mental competency hearings. Now, they include visits from Roof's parents, his younger sister, and his mother's boyfriend. So apparently in these videos, Roof laughed at his family members and even really threw his father into a rage, Ben Roof, who tried to explain to his son how his actions really affected the entire family. And upon this, Dylann Roof told his father, "I'm going to make this even worse." So Ben Roof said, "What is wrong with you? You've got to be kidding me. Don't do something stupid. You've already done enough." And then apparently the father stepped away. He was in tears. Roof's mother said that nothing could be worse than what he'd already done. Berated Dylann Roof, but insisted they still loved him, and then even questioned that. She said, "How does that sound? Does that sound funny? Does that sound pathetic?" She then warned Roof that he needed his defense team. He called them evil and the spawn of hell and liars. He insisted that there's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with me. Yeah, right. He said that lawyers represent criminals and lie for them. Well, what the heck did Dylann Roof think he was? Who did Dylann Roof? I don't get it. So the mom said, "Guess what, Dylann? You could have been an attorney. You could have been anything." Then he said, "I am an attorney. I'm an attorney in a capital case." This guy is seriously, and even he says that he's a sociopath. He admits to that. He is an absolute sociopath. Not that any of this is any reasoning or excuse for what he did. He did say, and this is kind of interesting, he insisted he was born with syphilis. And yep. He insists that he was born with syphilis and that his brain was deteriorating and he couldn't read books anymore. "I can't read books no more. I got the syphilis and my brain's deteriorating." Well, we can certainly understand that. Yes, I will probably go along with the fact that your brain is deteriorating. Your conscience was gone a long time ago. So this guy, zero remorse from Dylann Roof. I would love to just go ahead and expedite this death penalty. We would just go ahead and speed that whole process up. We could go ahead and get that over with and get this guy off the face of the planet, because right now all he's doing is wasting oxygen.
1250 WTMA.
Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
All right, there is a letter out from Jake Rambo. He is the former now principal of James B. Edwards Elementary School. Katie is out in Hollywood. She wants to talk about it this morning. Good morning, Katie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing A-OK. What do you think about this letter from Jake Rambo?
I am so excited that he put this out there, because this is exactly what needed to happen. Postlewaite is a dictator. She's a tyrant, and she needs to go. And if the board doesn't see that from this letter...
All right, well, wait a minute, Katie. Now, those are some pretty heavy allegations. Tell us, what makes her a tyrant? What makes her a dictator?
Well, basically in this letter, have you read it?
I have read some of it, yeah.
Okay. Basically, he was threatened by telling... She told him that he needed to do... I mean, I don't have the exact letter in front of me right now. But in other words, if he handled it correctly... His future of CCSC, it would depend on what his future of CCSC was.
Right.
Once he went to the group at James B. Edwards, and of course there was an outcry. They love him. They went back and threatened him again, and then he asked to put his child at least in Sullivan's Island Elementary,
right?
And they told him that would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the outcry again with the public came out to support him, all of a sudden they said, oh, sorry, he's on the waiting list now. This is just terrible. And I guarantee you that there are plenty other principals out there that also received this pending contract. I guarantee you that there are same things that are happening to them, but they are staying silent because they don't want to lose their job. They're in fear of losing their job.
So basically, there was a reshuffling of some of the principals in the Charleston County School District, right?
Yes.
They said they're going to take Principal A and put him over here in School C, and Principal C and put him over in School B. I don't understand why that's such a big deal, because the principals don't have a contract with the school. They have a contract with the school district.
Okay, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
However, they were given different reasons than the public was. I was in a private meeting with Dr. Postlewaite after we found out that our principal, Lee Runyon, was being moved also with only 3 years behind him.
Right.
Okay, and he has changed that school drastically. Positive spirit. All kinds of great things, and I think it would be detrimental for them to move him. Now, what happened is, you know, the board gets a sheet that says there are 13 principals that have pending contracts. Wouldn't that red flag you that you're going to shift 13 principals around?
But all right, so let's say your principal at your school came in and did a really great job at your school, really got them, like you said, the attitude is fantastic. And the atmosphere in the school is a lot better. And maybe over here you've got a school that would need somebody like that in that leadership role.
I don't agree with that. He's been there for 3 years and there's still work to be done. Our school still deserves to have a great principal.
Okay, but what about the other schools? Don't they deserve to get a great principal?
She told me she was going to get an equally good principal to put back in our school and replace Lee Runyon.
Okay, right.
So take that principal and put that one in the school that needs it, if that principal is equally good.
But still, I mean, I understand your frustration, Katie, but if you take emotion out of it...
She is still using her power to screw with people's lives.
I
that is what is happening. And I'm telling you right now that there is a different motive to all of this, and people need to delve into it and see what it is, because we were lied to.
All right, so what, let me ask you something then. If you're going to make the allegation, what could the motive be?
Power.
How?
She was one of those people that actually, with the coherent governance plan, encouraged her board to sign it, which gave her total control over hiring, firing, and moving of all employees in CCSD.
Mm.
Okay?
Okay.
Several of them didn't even know what they were signing, and they told me that.
Well, wait a minute. Why didn't they know what they were signing?
I have no idea. Ask them.
Well, I think that's a good question to ask. If you say, well, I have no idea what I signed, well, I'm sorry, you're an educator. You should at least know what this thing is that you're signing.
The board. The only person.
Well, the board should especially know.
And they don't. These are people who have nothing to do with education. There is one board member out of nine that has an educational background. One.
Okay. So who elected these people to the board?
Exactly. It's all of us. And guess what? We were stupid.
Well, we'll find out. I mean, this letter that was written to Kate Darby and the CCSD Board of Trustees, Mrs. Belk, and the District 2 Constituent Board, we'll find out. We'll certainly ask the folks at the Charleston County School District about this. But I don't have a problem, Katie, with the board or the supervisor moving principals around to put them in the place that maybe they need a great principal in that school.
And I understand that, but here's the fact. The fact is, when she tells everybody it's not punitive,
mm-hmm.
but then the board tells everybody that it's something in their personnel record, when she tells us that they can use his skill set somewhere else,
right?
Yet the board emails me and tells me that it's an issue with his personnel record, there's something going on.
Okay, that I don't know about. That I haven't seen that email.
Well, guess what? I'll send you that email.
Please do.
Because it was sent to me.
Please do. Charlie@WTMA.com. All right, Katie?
Happy to. It'll blow your mind.
Thank you very much. I haven't had my mind blown in a while. You have a great day.
WTMA, the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
I just got an email from Andy Pruitt with the Charleston County School District, and he is telling me that he's going to be in touch later on today with a statement regarding Jake Rambo's letter to the Charleston County School District that we were just talking about a few minutes ago. Let me read to you part of this letter, because I think you're going to be hearing a lot more about this. This came out yesterday. It says, "Dear Ms. Darby and the CCSD Board of Trustees, Ms. Belk and District 2 Constituent Board, it is with heavy heart and out of a sense of moral obligation that I write to share with you my concerns about our district, its students, the James B. Edwards community, and specifically the events that have occurred over the past month. Alongside my wife, I have prayed about the decision to compose this letter." Goes on to say, "It is my hope that you are truly unaware of what's occurring in CCSD. On the evening of April 24th, I received a call from the executive director of the elementary learning community, that would be John Cobb, informing me that although I would receive a principal contract for 2017-18, I would not be at James B. Edwards Elementary. I was shocked, as my tenure as principal at the school began less than 2 short years ago. Not one time throughout this school year has any CCSD administrator, including the superintendent, the associate superintendent of schools, the executive director of the elementary learning community, or the director of elementary learning community visited our building. Neither had any leader shared with me a single concern about my performance, the performance of our teachers, or the performance of our students. Not one time, if it existed, were there any community concerns conveyed to me, and not one time was even the threat of a potential move shared with me privately, publicly, or in a group setting. I was devastated, as I love our community, its parents, and most importantly, its students. While we have lots left to accomplish, during my 1.5 years at the school, we have increased student enrollment, put community programs in place to close the opportunity gap, increased physical activity opportunities, and improve parent, teacher, and student satisfaction. He goes on to say, the following morning, April 25th, I met with executive director of the elementary learning community. The first thing he did was take out a torn half sheet of paper on which several rows of numbers were scribbled, handed me the paper, and said, pick which scores are yours. After asking for further clarification about his request, I identified JBE students' winter MAP scores. He then said, that's why you're being moved. He goes on to say, I remain silent. My study of the NWEA website suggests that the intent of MAP, or the MAP stands for, what is this? Measures of Academic Progress, the MAP scores. He says that the intent of the MAP scores is not to penalize students, teachers, or principals. Instead, its purpose is to be used as a formative tool to help teachers know in what areas they need to focus their instructions throughout the following semester to grow students. So that was just in short part the resignation letter that was sent from it's a lot. A lot of information here. That was, of course, sent from Jake Rambo to the Charleston County School District. Let me just hit a couple of other highlights. Anyway. So a couple of weeks ago, not this past Tuesday, but the Tuesday before, we were talking with members of the Charleston, a member of the Charleston County School District, about why some of these principals were moved. And she was telling me that the reason was that you try to just get a better fit. If you've got a principal who is stronger in some areas than in others, then you move that principal to the school where their skill set would be best utilized. Now, that certainly sounds like a completely logical thing to do. I mean, I've told you before, in this country, in this company, we have a thing called HABU, highest and best use. So if you've got somebody in a position A and their skill set is really better suited for position C, then you move that person into where their skill set is best used. That's the best use of that person. And that was what was told to me Tuesday before last, the reason of moving some of these principals around. Now we're hearing that the last caller was saying that this is more of a punitive deal. So I don't now went on to say a couple of weeks ago that that this was not punitive, that this wasn't a punishment, that the principals are hired by the school district. They are not hired by the individual school. They don't have a contract for an individual school. They have a contract to work with the Charleston County School District, and the district decides which school they're the best fit. We're going to find out a lot more about this today. Of course, we've got Kate out in Hollywood. She says she's going to send me this email, and as soon as I get that, I will read that email to you. And we'll get more information. Hopefully, Andy Pruitt will give us a call or shoot us an email today outlining a little bit more about this resignation letter that was received yesterday.
1250 WTMA.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
So other than test scores, what is the best way to judge the progress of a student? Because a lot of people are, I'm reading some of these posts on Facebook, and of course this is all coming from this resignation letter from Jake Rambo as he was transferred from James B. Edwards over to Sullivan's Island Elementary School. Remember, he was not fired. He wasn't fired. He was just transferred from one school to another. So a lot of people are on Facebook, and they're kind of upset over this. And they're saying that, let me find this. I'm trying to find this one person who said, all right, tragic, sad, and unacceptable for the district to be managed by lying. The emphasis should be on quality education that impacts the entire life of a child, not test scores. So, but how, other than test scores, how do you really judge the progress of a student? That's, I mean, what, then you can say, well, the student is happier, the student is healthier, the student is more attentive, the student is whatever, but aren't we trying to get that student to that level so that you can increase those test scores? I'm just wondering, how can you, if you said, show me how a student is getting better in your school, how do you do that other than test scores? That's what what nobody is really answering. So why is it such a bad thing if you use test scores in order to map a student's progress? I don't get that. I don't get that. Every other level of education, once you get out of, you know, public school, when you go to college, you don't get to graduate college because you're a healthy, happy, well-adjusted senior. You are based on your test scores. Whether or not, you know, you pass this class, it's because of your test score. So what other quantitative method would you use to say that a student is improving or needs improvement in other areas other than your test score? And there, like I said, there's a lot of people that are really speaking out against this right now, this letter from Jake Rambo. So,
but the guy still has a job.
Had, because he just resigned.
Well,
he was not fired. He was sent from James B. Edwards over to Sullivan's Island Elementary School.
And you would think that'd be kind of a cool thing.
I would. Well, he was saying that he had only been on the job for, a year and a half. They had made great strides there. I want to know what happened, or where's the principal from Sullivan's Island Elementary School going?
Yeah.
What happened to that person? Did they get transferred to another school or not?
You know, this kind of thing happens in other businesses as well. Mm-hmm. And the school system, I mean, really is a business. It's a government entity, but yeah, it's still a business. Fred Story was telling me before he got back into radio many years ago, he was working as a grocery store manager.
Right.
And he said that used to really aggravate him. He would go and he would be working, managing a really wonderful grocery store, practically ran itself.
Yeah.
No problems. Everybody was great. And so his supervisor would say, you're doing such a good job at this store. Why don't we take you to this store? And,
yeah,
and he would have to transfer within the company to something that was not nearly as good, that had more problems and more issues to deal with. So,
right. But when that happens, you can look at it one way. You can look at it that I am being punished, or you can look at it as, hey, I'm a problem solver.
It's a great opportunity.
And it's a great opportunity for me to go in and solve the problem at this store. They need my skills at this store, so they're moving me over here. You can look at it one of two ways. I mean, now, if you want to sit back and say, and like you said, hey, this store is running itself, I don't have to do anything, you know, I got a cush job.
Yeah.
Or do you want to be put in a position where you can actually help somebody else out in another store? I don't know the reasons for the firing. We've heard several different stories, but we're waiting on that email to come in that said that the test scores, these MAP scores, were used to punish principals and teachers and students. But again, I don't know what criteria you would use to say, hey, this student is doing better or worse than last year, other than test scores. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. This morning, we've got a lot of folks that are out there really screaming about this on Facebook. Why waste your time on Facebook when you can pick up the phone and call us? 556-1250. That's 556-1250. Yes, you can get that message out to two or three of your friends this morning, or you could share it with thousands of people this morning. We would love to hear from you. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Again, Andy Pruitt saying that he's going to release some sort of a statement coming up this afternoon from the Charleston County School District about exactly what happens, their response to this resignation letter from Jake Rambo. And there was also, it goes on into a lot of things. One of them was about the transfer of his son from James B. Woods Elementary. over to Sullivan's Island Elementary School, and that was delayed, apparently. It just, if there is a one place that the Charleston County School District really needs to up their game, and I'm sure there are many places, but the one place they really need to up their game is transparency. And they've got to make sure they're getting their message out to the people, because right now a lot of people are feeling left in the dark as far as why a lot of these principals were transferred and moved around within the district. Now, remember, Jake Rambo was not fired. He was just transferred. And whether or not you like the transfer or not, that's one thing. But if they felt that his skills and his personality and his leadership was needed at Sullivan's Island Elementary School, then that's what they felt. And his contract is with the Charleston County School District.